Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Derry Moten. Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. Today's message is about I Have Been Given Abundant Life Part 4. And in this message, we talk about what abundant life means, both here at the ministry and what is the scriptural foundation that gives us understanding about how to grow in Christ. It really is based on 10 principles, which we call our guiding principles, that we want you to listen close to and take on. So God bless you, and we'll talk to you at the end of the broadcast.
Father, in the name of Jesus, bless your word today. Bless your word. Bless the ears of every hearer. Give to every hearer revelation knowledge that doesn't come from my voice, but comes from the Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you as you open the ears of every person here. Let them receive a word from you that answers their questions, that deals with their challenges, and gives them direction. We thank you that as they receive that word, Lord, give them faith to activate the word, to apply the word, to not be a hearer only, but to be a doer of the word. And as they do the word, give them stamina to stand on your word as long as it takes to see it manifested. And we thank you that as it manifests, you grant them boldness to impart to others the truth that you have taught them by your own hand and by your own name. We give you praise for miraculous results happening right now because your word carries within it power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm ready for something great today. We've been talking about I have been given abundant life. Tell your neighbor, say, I have been given abundant life. Turn to the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10. John, chapter 10, verse 10. This church is called Abundant Life Worship Center, right? Where'd the name come from? Came from Jesus through this passage we're going to read. We're going to get down to the objective here. We're going to make it very clear so that no matter what, you will know for sure what we're all about. Amen? John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. Tell your neighbor, he came to give you life. And that they may have it more abundantly. He did not just come to make sure you're alive. He did not just come to make sure that you are feeling well. He did not come to just make sure that you're okay. He came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. What does that mean? Because there's a lot of interpretation you can make out of that, but the question is, what does it actually mean? What does it mean when Jesus, not Paul, not one of the disciples, not one of the prophets of old. What does it mean when Jesus says, I have come that they may have life? That's a good question. And we have to answer that question because if we don't answer that question, we will never really understand what our salvation really is. If we don't have a clear answer as to what abundant life is, we will struggle with our salvation because we will be easily taken for rides by the enemy. If you remember, as we've been talking about this, Adam and Eve were given abundant life. They were put in the garden of God. The garden of God was totally complete. He said, behold, I've given you trees for food, the herbs of the ground, they're for your food. Behold, there's rivers that run. There's gold, there's onyx, there's all these things. There's every animal of every kind here. Everything you need is in this garden. This garden is totally self-contained. There is no need for anything outside of this garden. It's complete. It's so complete that I, God of all creation, made this thing and I said, I'm done, I'm resting. That's how complete it is. It's so complete that the God who made every single thing in the universe got done making it, got done putting man in there and said, There's nothing else to do. I'm going to rest. Y'all should be saying praise the Lord right now. Come on. That was it. God made a complete place. Communism in our world doesn't work for one reason. The concept of communism is great. Everybody's equal. Nobody has to, you know, nobody's being overpaid. Nobody's hoarding. Nobody's doing all this. Everybody gets paid the same thing. If you're a doctor, you get paid. I'm going to use Cuba since we had a visitor from Cuba. I'm going to use Cuba as the example. Everybody in Cuba, if you work, you get $30 a month. And I'm not exaggerating. If you work in Cuba, you get $30 a month. If you're a doctor, you get $30 a month. If you are a janitor, you get $30 a month. No matter who you are, you get $30 a month. That's what the government pays all people that work. If you work in a store, the government owns the store. You get $30 a month. If you find a gas station to work at, you will get $30 a month. It doesn't make a difference what you do. You're getting $30 a month. The concept is that if money is not a factor, people will do what's in their heart to do. So I don't have to try to be a doctor to make money. I'm going to make the same money if I'm just a janitor. But if I desire to heal, if I desire to be excellent at what I do, if I desire to be a blessing to somebody, I can go to school for free and become a doctor and not finish with $275,000 worth of student loans. That's amazing, right? Only one problem. The problem is that if you don't have a complete society that has everything you need, you have to trade outside of that society, which means if you don't have all the resources, you're going to have to do one of two things. You're going to have to take somebody else's stuff, which is why the Soviet Union grew from Russia to all these other states, because they had to take over those states so they have more resources. So communism has a problem. It has a good concept, but it has a problem. It's not complete. And so if you're not complete, you seek things outside of what is complete about you. So if you don't believe that Jesus is your completion, if you don't believe that he came to give you life, you will believe that you have to go outside of Jesus to find what you need. If you don't believe that Jesus is the completion of God's purpose and his plan for you, you will mistakenly believe that you have to go outside of Jesus to get your needs met, which is what becomes religion. Then church becomes what I do on Sunday, and then I go outside and do what I really need to do to live. So when Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly, it sounds real clever, it sounds real cute, but the actual reality is, if you don't believe that, you're going to struggle with everything else about God. Because you have to first believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? God is a rewarder of those that seek him. And what does he do? He responds to faith. What is faith? The belief that God is complete. The belief that God is able. The belief that God is the maker and the creator. And that if I am with God, there is nothing that's not accessible to me. This is a foundational truth. We have to understand this. If you don't understand this, you will struggle with your faith. Your faith will be struggled. And you have to know that there's a thief who's coming to try to rob you of that revelation. What did Jesus say? The thief does not come except to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life. In other words, he's trying to take from you. I'm trying to give to you. I'm trying to give you. I'm trying to make sure that you understand completion. I'm trying to make sure that you understand that I am here to give you life like God has it. There are several Greek words in that mean life. Some of them mean your biological life, bios. Okay? There are other words that speak to your style of life. But the word that's used here is the word zoe. Zoe. It is life as God has within himself. Zoe, I have come that they may have life as God has life. What does that mean? Life of spirit. Life that is spirit-driven and not driven by flesh and blood. Life that's spirit first and flesh second. Life that is one that is totally complete. Now, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Tell your neighbor, say, Jesus came to give me life, and I believe that it's life complete. I'll tell you something. Revelation is progressive, right? We've been saying that over. Revelation is progressive. You start with one level of revelation and it grows. Revelation continues to expand and grow. Because why? You have to start somewhere from an unrenewed mind to a renewed mind. So God has to give you a sliver of revelation that you can handle so that you can grow that to a deeper level of revelation. In other words, if you first gave your life to God and God revealed himself to you, it would blow your mind and we'd have your funeral. I took this class one time, and the teacher, well, I'll tell you what, it was my first college calculus class. And so I sat in the class, and the teacher started talking. He's going on, he's writing stuff on the board, and he's turning around and talking, and he's all animated, and he's writing the equations on the board, and he said, am I right or what? And he keep on, am I right or what? I'm saying, I don't know if you're right, because I don't even know what you're talking about. It's the first day of class, man. I thought I was getting a syllabus. And you breaking down formulas that I'm not ready for. My mind got blown. I said, I can't. It's too much. I can't handle this. That's called getting your mind blown. It's getting overwhelmed. There are things that come that will overwhelm you. So God has to give you pieces of revelation so you can handle it. When the children of Israel were going into the promised land, God said, I can't give it to you all at one time. Because even the animals will overrun you because you can't handle it. There is a level of what we can handle and understand that we have to be willing to accept that does not then exclude God being complete, which is where the window of faith is. See, I can only hold so much revelation, so much information. But once I get to that point, if I say this revelation I have is all there is, then the spirit of pride gets on me and I deny God everything else. But I have to be able to say, this is what God has shown me, and I know that God has more. I know that God is complete. So my understanding is here, but my faith goes here. My faith goes to a wider scope than what I know, because it requires you to understand that God is bigger than that. And your belief that God is a complete God will author how you relate to God. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the what?
Spirit.
To the Spirit. Do something spiritual right now, please. All right. All right. Some people know, some people don't know what to do. Why? Okay, you can, because I know I see where y'all doing something spiritual. I know where y'all going already. Let's bring y'all back here. Listen, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. There is a clear distinction between spirit and flesh. We talked about before the two trees in the garden. They represented, one represented spirit or life. The other represented death or flesh. And then we come here to the book of Romans. He says again, there's a law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Matter of fact, let me go to the next verse because I haven't got there yet. Verse 2 says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the laws of sin and death. There is a law of life and there's a law of death. Law of life, law of death. The law of life is the law of spirit. The law of death is the law of flesh. If you are ruled and you are run by your flesh, it takes you to death. If you're ruled by your spirit, it brings you life. That's why Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. We're already alive, Jesus. Yes, you don't understand. I'm talking about a new life. I'm talking about another life that's going to overlay your existing life and give you access to God in places where you haven't had access before. So I grew up as the grandchild of farmers. My grandparents were from Arkansas, and they worked on farms. And so when they moved to California, and me and Orlando were just talking about this. So when we moved to California, the house that they had where I grew up, they had the backyard, and my grandfather had, and I remember the measurements because he made me measure it. He had to take the tape measure and measure it because it had to be the same every year. So from the fence, 8 feet out. And then we're going 30 feet back. Now we're going to do rows here, rows, rows, and that's how we did. So every year, that's what we did. Paw, take me out. Measure it out, boy. Measure it out. You got to measure it out. Then we're going to measure it down. Why? Because they're going to grow stuff here. Why? Because when they lived in Arkansas, that's what they did. So when they came to California, they were still doing that. Do you hear what I'm telling you? When they lived in Arkansas, they did that to live. Even though they moved to California and that's not how they lived anymore, they continued to do it. Why? Because that's what I'm used to doing. That's how I've always lived. That's what we've always done. And so now that we're in California, we're going to continue to do the same thing because that's what we do. Christians give their life to Jesus and they bring what they used to do into the new place that they came. You understand what I'm telling you? Sometimes we had ways of living, ways of seeing things, ways of doing things that represented death, that represented the unrenewed person. They represented a flesh life. And we brought them over into a spirit life, and we try to make them work in a spirit realm, and they don't work here anymore. And they're fine. You could do them if you want to, but they're not profiting you anything because, you know what? Every year I'm measuring this thing off, and we still went to Safeway. There they grew it and they lived off it. Here we just grown it just because we growing it. And we still going to the supermarket. And we grew just enough that we're going to eat a couple of meals with it. Like a week and a half. We're going to eat a few things. Oh, ain't these greens good? Yeah. Now next week I got to go get the greens from. Man, those tomatoes was good. Got to wait till next year to get some more because you're out of them now. You got to go to the supermarket. That's what the law of the spirit of life and death are like. It is the law of life that Jesus has brought you into, and he wants you to not continue to try to grow your own stuff. He wants you to understand he's trying to make a provision for you out of what he has provided. He is the provider now. See, in the world, I was on my own. I had to make everything happen. I had to make things work all the time. I had to be clever. I had to be creative. I had to outthink everybody around me all the time. That's what we had to do. Because if you're out there on your own, that's what you have to do. Or you need some luck to go your way. But when I'm over here in the kingdom, I'm going and praying, and God has given me wisdom that I didn't even have to ask for. And half the time, God has me doing stuff that I don't even realize I'm doing it on his purpose. Something happened to me at work, and the human resources people tried to make me pay some money back. Money that I earned. They're going to make me pay money back. They gave me a raise and then wanted the money back. And I don't know what to do. And I didn't even pray about it. I just went home and I just said, this is crazy. And sure enough, the Spirit spoke to me, gave me a wisdom. Write this letter and send it to, don't send it to them, send it to this person. I wrote the letter, sent it, and I never heard another word back. What happened? I didn't have to go over here and plot and figure out, okay, they did this, this is what I got to do. I didn't have to go get the attorney. I didn't have to go through all the other things. I came over here into the law of the spirit of life, and I just said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I didn't really even hardly pray about it. I don't know what to do. And the Lord said, this is what you're going to do. He spoke to my spirit, told me what to do. He guided me and directed me with wisdom and understanding from where? From the law of life. From the law of life, he gave me direction and guidance, and he led me to do something that then not only got them to back off, it also resulted in God doing me and giving me favor later on. Because I couldn't see into the future for the favor. Over there, I might have got the problem solved, but I couldn't think three steps ahead to get the favor of God on my life from my actions that I do right now. What is God doing? He's given supernatural understanding on how to move you past just living in the flesh. The flesh is going to profit you short term. The spirit profits you eternally. God is doing things to cause your spirit to move in a way that he's going to bless you and move you into things that you don't even realize you get to move into. That you can occupy spaces that you shouldn't be able to because God has given you favor. And just like God gave me favor to do stuff, God closed doors in front of me when I didn't realize I was walking into a trap. Come on now. The wisdom of God, the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. What does that mean? I mean, God wants to do some things in your world. God's trying to do and activate things in your world. Can I talk to you about simplicity of evangelism? What is evangelism? It is to go with the wisdom of God. We've been teaching you guys the cycle of spiritual growth. What is it? The understanding that God is going to always take common knowledge and he's going to give you his spiritual revelation about it. And when you get a spiritual revelation over things, what's he going to do? He's going to show you how to use the spiritual revelation. When you use that revelation, he's going to show up and bless you. And when he blesses you, what's he going to do after that? He's going to tell you, go into all the world and teach them what I taught you. That's how the God we serve works. He blesses you and shows you. No, I don't want you preaching just foolishness. I want you just screaming just to scream. I don't want you just going out there and tell everybody you need Jesus. No. Teach them what I taught you. Be a person of substance. You don't have to go out and just scream at the world. Walking downtown Oakland. And I pass this man. He's got a little amplifier this big on the ground. And he's got a microphone. And he's preaching, telling everybody they're going to hell. And you know what? I appreciate his heart. I appreciate his willingness to be vulnerable and to stand out there and preach to people who ain't trying to listen to you. People are just walking by you, if they even look at you. Some people walk by and just do literally put their hand over their ear and keep walking. And so I stood out there and watched him for a little while, and then I said, okay, this is like dynamite fishing. He's dropping a bomb over here. I'm away from the swim this way. And then I'm gonna put some real bait on him, right? Yeah. And I would just stand over there and watch people walk past. And I said, that's crazy, huh? They said, oh, yeah, that's crazy. I said, what? And I just engage him in a conversation about Jesus. And they would stand there and talk. Why would they stand there and talk to me and they walk right past him? Because I'm not operating in the law of death. I'm operating in the law of life. I'm coming here telling you Jesus got life for you. He's got something for you. God got a plan for your life. God's what? Guess what? The world's already condemned. We know the world's going to hell. We know that. Guess what? The sinners know they're going to hell. They know that. Come on, man. They may want to deny there's a hell, but once you say what hell is, they know they're going. That's what hell is? Yeah, that's what hell is. Oops. Might want to rethink this. Listen, I want you to understand something. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is the foundational law of Christianity. It's the foundational law of Christianity. And it's not a law in that it has a bunch of rules attached to it. The only rule that's attached to it is you need to know God for yourself. And you only know him through Jesus Christ. You know him through Christ in what? In confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. At the moment of your salvation, you become a candidate to move into the abundant life that's in Christ. And there is no other requirement. There is no bunch of hoops you got to jump. There's nothing else you got to do. It's just revelation, understanding, and walking out, applying what the Word says. It's just revelation and walking into what the Word says. But here's the problem. The problem is that we don't know the principles for how to move into it. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to move quick because I want to get something to you. Now, some of y'all might be insulted when I read this to you. If you're insulted, you need to just make a declaration. He's talking to me, but not about me. Come on, say that. Say, he's talking to me, but not about me. Yeah, because you're about to be insulted possibly. Here we go. But it's the Word, not me. The writer of the book of Hebrews is telling people, he said, I'm trying to teach you guys about Christ, but you're not receiving what I'm telling you. I'm trying to explain to you that Jesus came as the order of Melchizedek. And I'm trying to explain who Jesus is. I'm trying to get you to grasp the nature and the fullness of who Jesus is, but you become hard of hearing. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking to you. Amen? Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. Verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Turn to your neighbor and say, he ain't talking about you, but he is talking to you. Spiritual maturity is a progressive thing. It is a progress. It's a constant progress. We have to continue to step deeper into the things of God, continue to step further into God. And what did he tell them here? He said, I want you to go out and be able to teach, but you find that you can't teach because there's something missing still. There's something you still need. There's something I still want to give to you. And there's some principles that you need to understand. There's some basic principles that you need to grasp and you need to hang on to. If you get these principles, then you'll be ready and prepared to go forward and do what you got to do. Because remember, you can't teach people something unless you've been taught. Jesus said, you go and teach them what I taught you. If he taught you compassion, then you go teach compassion. If he taught you mercy, then you go teach mercy. If he taught you how to give, then you go and you give. You go and teach whatever God has taught you. You go teach whatever God has put in your spirit. Whatever God has blessed you with, whatever God's ministered to you, that's what you go and you minister out to others. I want to read this in the Amplified Version. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracle of God. Oh, that's King James again. Should be amplified in there. Okay, I said, okay, mine didn't switch. Here we go. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. That's not the one I want. So let me read you something else. We'll get that straight, and I'll read you the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation says this: you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Cycle of spiritual growth is important because you have to understand something. You will never be fully complete and mature in the things of God until you get to the point where you can impart something to someone else. I don't care how deep revelation you have. Oh, I don't care how deeply you have information, revelation. I don't care how much you got. If you get revelation and you don't activate that revelation, you don't put it to use, you don't deal with it, you don't go face to face with something, with the word of God, then you're not going to be prepared or qualified to teach someone else what God said. And one of the things that happens to us as Christians is one of our struggles is that our confidence is not there when it comes to evangelism, because some things we think we got to teach people, we don't know. Why do we know? Because we haven't lived it. See, what I lived, I know. I know God's a healer. Because I laid in the hospital for several days. I know God is a healer. Amen. If you laid in the hospital with them tending to you or telling you you shouldn't have walked in here, you should have came in on a stretcher, then you know that God's a healer. Come on. If you've been broke, you know God is a provider. If you ain't had, you had no resources, and you don't know how you're going to make something happen. My wife was praying that God has done some supernatural stuff with some money in my pocket. Or the money that wasn't in my pocket. Supernatural. Supernatural. Supernatural.
Come on.
I'm talking about, I got to pay student loans because I got 3 kids in college. I made a declaration in front of this congregation. I'm not taking not one more student loan. I said it with my mouth and I didn't take not one more. And Maya just graduated from college. So for the last 3 years, I was like, I ain't taking no more. And guess what? I didn't have this whole big old, I'm not doing that now. I got a big old giant wad of cash sitting somewhere on a shelf. I didn't have it in nothing in my mattress. I didn't have no hole in the ground in the backyard where I had it buried. I had no buried treasure. I had none of that. I had faith. I had the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that makes me free from the laws of sin, death, and debt. And once I made a declaration with my mouth, once I put my God to work in it, then what did he do? He showed up and worked in my behalf. Because why? Because the law of the spirit of life always works. It always works. It may cost you something. It may cost you some faith. It may cost you some time in the word. It may cost you some opportunity to have to meditate. What is God saying to me? It may cost you that, but it will pay you back on the other side. It will pay you back on the other side if you give God his time. Amen? Amen. For though this time you ought to be teachers, what is the only thing that stops us from teaching is activating. Yeah. The only thing that stands between us and actually being able to teach people what God said is whether or not we've activated the word. Activated the word. Have we activated God's word in our lives? Have we activated God's word in our situation? Have we activated God's word in our circumstances? And once you do, and you get some power behind you, you get some testimony behind you, then ain't nobody can stop you from doing anything God called you to do. Anything. What we've come to realize is that we don't have anything to tell you unless we live through things. And so we've had to live through some challenging things in order to what? To be prepared and equipped and qualified to tell you what God says and that his Bible actually works. His Bible's not a fairy tale. His Bible is true. It works. It is live, active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It will pierce and divide. It will cut through all the foolishness and get down to the real issues of the heart, the truth. That the word will work when it is put into action. When it is applied, it will always bring forth the manifestation of God because it won't fail in what he sent it to do. Look again at verse 12 here. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. Why are we teaching guiding principles? We're teaching these 10 guiding principles because those 10 principles are the foundation of how you're going to learn how to live out abundant life in your walk. Those 10 principles that we're teaching, we're not teaching because I think it's clever. We're teaching because those are the principles that will open the door for you to live abundant life, period. Number one, the Bible is the final authority. You want to live an abundant life, you need to know the Bible is the final authority. There's a lot of voices in the world, but if you don't know that the Bible is the final authority, the Word of God is his final authority, then guess what? You're going to struggle because that's the first point. Number two is, it's not enough for the Bible to be authority. You need to know the Bible and Jesus for yourself. Because it ain't going to help you that I know Jesus. Oh, Pastor, really know Jesus? Yes, I do. Guess what? You need to know him too. Guess what? Jesus, this is what Jesus said. He said, I'm going to the Father. I'm doing great works, but greater works are you going to do? Guess what? I want somebody to do some greater works than me. I want people to do greater works than I do. I want people to have better testimonies than me. Because guess what? I'm not competing against you. If you get up and give a better testimony than me, I'm going to celebrate with you. I'm going to celebrate with you because I'm not in competition with you. I expect greater works. Jesus does greater works. We do greater works. And those that come behind us are going to do greater works. The last day, harvest those people in the last days. They're going to do. And guess what? Most people believe we're in the last days. So we need to get busy. They're going to do greater works. Number three. Third principle is simple. If the word is the final authority and we can come to know Jesus for ourselves, then when guess what? When Jesus came up, he says, I came that you might have life. The next thing you need to believe is that Jesus is not against me. He's here to give me life, not here to take all life away from me. The problem is we get stuck on this. He said, whoever finds his life is going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for the gospel's sake, he's going to find it. Sometimes we're trying to hang on to the law of death. And he's saying, lose that so you can find the law of life. So you can find the law of life. When I first came to Jesus, I realized I had to make a change. I had to make a drastic change because my life was not consistent with Christianity in any way, shape, or form. I had to make a serious, drastic change. So what did I do? I went into my place and I got all my stuff. and I got big bags, and I started stuffing it in the bags because I had to get rid of everything, and I had to go to the bathroom, and I had to release things out of the house, and I had to get stuff out of the environment. And I had to take people who I knew, and I had to throw all their phone numbers out, and I had to get rid of this, and I had to disconnect from this and disconnect from that. Why? Because if I'm going to live a new life, I got to get rid of the old life. Does it take all that? Does it have to be that radical? Maybe not for you, but for me, it needed to be radical because I couldn't do it halfway. One thing you know about me, I may be kind of laid back, but if I do it, I got to do it all the way. I have a hard time doing halfway. If I'm going to do it, I got to be in. I got to be all in. So I had to be all in. I had to say, you know what? Jesus came to give me life. I'm going to release the old life, and I'm walking to the new life. I'm walking to the new life. And since I went to the new life, God's been blessing my life. God changed me, turned things around for me. He turned things around, turned things totally around. Wounds, hurts, all the things we grew up in. You know, all of us grew up with some kind of foolishness in our houses. Some of us grew up in alcoholic houses. Some of us houses where there was drug addiction. Some of us grew up in all kinds of crazy stuff happening in your house. Okay, that's what happens. But do we say, that's just how it is? Or we say, you know what, God wants to set me free. Yes. And we got to walk free. Because if you don't walk free, all that stuff will ride with you. And it will try to come into the promised land with you. And then when you got just where you got in the promised land and you got your seat all comfortable, just where you're feeling real good. Woo! Promised land. And all your junk from all behind comes to sit on your left hand and on your right. Because why? Because it never left you. You never left it. Jesus came that you might have abundant life. Means you got to leave old life behind and bring new life to life in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on now. Somebody say hallelujah with me. Hallelujah. Come on. I need to sound like y'all actually know what I'm believe what I'm telling you. I'm sweating up here. It's hot up in here. I need somebody to believe what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Number four, prayer. Because he brought me into new life. He says, guess what? Not only do I need you to bring in the new life, and I know you had to leave some stuff behind, but guess what? I'll be with you and I'll talk to you. Amen. I will talk to you. I'll talk to you and you can talk to me. Why? I say prayer is going to be your highest privilege. You're going to be able to talk to God face to face. And when your old voices want to come back, and you say, but I need somebody to talk to. He said, talk to me, son. Talk to me, son. Talk to me. Keep your eyes right here. Talk to me, son. Keep talking to me. Keep talking to me. But Lord, it's waves and it's sea. I don't care, son. Keep your eyes on me. Keep talking to me. Prayer is your ability to walk away from stuff and be able to talk to God, even when other folks don't want to talk to you. Yes. I got some stories to tell, don't nobody want to hear. I got some things I need to talk to God about, don't nobody have no time to listen to. I ain't got time for that, brother. I got things to do. When you start to talk to God and you start to have a dialogue with God, the next thing that happens is you start to have a love relationship with God. You start to love God. You start to talk to God. And you start to understand God. You start having this dialogue and conversation. First time Tammy and I ever talked, we sat in the car and we talked. And we had this back and forth dialogue and we were sharing stuff. And I got so intrigued with her, I asked her to marry me on the first night. I said, you my wife. True story. Y'all think I'm joking. That's true. First date, I asked her to marry me. I ain't got time to play. The love relationship with God then starts manifesting in love for God and then love for people. Because then you start to see what God sees. Because he starts talking to you and says, do you see this? Do you see that? And you start seeing what God sees. And then you start loving people, even who people you don't want to love. You start loving people you don't even want to love. I just don't want to like you right now, but I love you. Oh, man, I'm going to talk to you because I don't want to like you. Oh, but the love of God is poured out in my spirit for you. Even though I don't want to like you. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
When you start to see with God's eyes, and you start to love people, you'll also start to recognize that the least person in the kingdom is great. You'll start to see greatness in people that are in the kingdom. You'll start to see that they have something in them. And guess what? You'll have to recognize that about yourself too. The least person in the kingdom of God is what? Greater than all the Old Testament prophets, greater than everybody else. The least person in the kingdom, they're great in things of God. You're anointed, you're blessed. Why? Because God has made you blessed. That's a principle. It's not just an idea. It's a principle. It's a truth. It's a truth from the word. Every one of these, there's a scripture that backs behind these. Jesus or someone else saying, this is what God does. This is how God works. The least person in the kingdom, what are they? They are blessed to be a blessing. They are anointed. When you understand that you're anointed and that you're blessed to be a blessing, then you start to operate in worship. Worship not being how you sing to God, but worship being what you do for God. Worship becomes everything I put my hands on to do. Whatsoever I do in word or in deed, I do it as unto the Lord. That's why we won't let y'all settle. When Carolyn said this darn envelope, you know what that envelope said? The envelope said, you're going to get up and you're going to teach this principle. People got envelopes that said, here's your principle. You're going to come up here and teach this. And guess what? Don't nobody want to be up here. Because she said the truth. When you start stepping out, guess what? You're now a target. The enemy's coming after you. Guess what? He was already coming after you. He just turned it up to see what you're made of. And then you find out what you're made of, and you say, praise the Lord, I'm made of spirit. I'm made of whatever God put in me. Because guess what? When I ran out of my own strength, the joy of the Lord now became my strength. The spirit of God on the inside of me. What? I'm not strong in me. I'm strong in the Lord, and the power of his might makes available. That's who I am. That stops me from panicking in trouble because I'm not counting on me. I'm counting on God. Hallelujah. Start understanding who God is. He's working on my favor. He's giving me stuff. These principles, this is how you walk in abundant life. This is how you move from wherever you are to abundant life, is understanding these principles, activating these principles. Evangelism, what we cover today, evangelism is reaching the lost and guiding them in discipleship and transformation. If you get the first seven, then evangelism becomes easy. If you start to walk out the first seven, then by the time it's time to tell somebody something, you got something to say. You have something to talk to people about. You have something to interact with people. You have something that's past their imaginations, past their understanding. You have stuff that's past all their arguments, all that stuff. Because guess what? I don't have to argue with you about truth. I live. You can argue with me. I don't have to argue with you. I'm healed. Somebody say amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's hot in here, but I'm paying attention. We're almost done, y'all. Principle number 9. The church is the people, not the building. Yeah. Recognition that you are the church. Tell your neighbor, say, I ain't never going to church again. Turn to the other neighbor and say, I mean it. I ain't never going to church again. You're not going to church because you are the church. The church goes wherever you go. Wherever you go, that's where the church is. Wherever you are, that's where the church is. Wherever you go, that's where the church is. That's where it is. It's always been that way. We just didn't realize it was that way. That's why if you meet in a house with a group of people, you're having church. If you meet at your office with a group of people that love God, you're having church. If you meet at Starbucks with a group of people, you're having church. If you go to Timbuktu and you, matter of fact, if you go to Nepal and climb to the top of Mount Everest with two other people and y'all talk about Jesus, you having church on the top of the mountain. Wherever you go, if you go to Death Valley, the bottom of the valley, you having church. Wherever you go, if you by yourself saying, Jesus, I love you, you having church. We come together to have corporate worship. We ain't having church. We have in corporate worship because I am the church. Wherever I go, it's the church. Well, somebody might say, well, then why do I have to come to church? Well, because the word says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the custom of some people. In other words, some people already tried that. That ain't new. That ain't a new argument. Because you're the church, and because evangelism is bringing people to transformation and understanding and change, then the last principle is simple. You're responsible for relationships. You're responsible to make relationships with people. You're responsible for having three kinds of relationships in your life. You're responsible to, number one, have people who are teaching you. You need to put yourself under submission to teaching. All of us. Including me. I submit myself to teaching. All of us. Somebody in your life needs to be a Paul to you. Someone who is pouring into you, giving you wisdom, instruction, guidance, giving you what you need. Then you need to have Barnabas in your life. That means you need to have friends. You know the word says, he that would have friends must first show himself friendly. We have to reach out to people. We have to build friendships. I don't like people. But you need to have friendships. Yes. There's no such thing as a hermit Christian. You can't be the hermit Christian. You can't lock yourself away in your shell somewhere and never come out. You can't do that. That's not Christianity. Christianity is people. Because you know why? The word says iron sharpens iron. So you know what that means? That means I may be abrasive to you. It means I may rub you the wrong way. But if you let me rub you long enough, it'll sharpen you. That's why God made us love before he made us be friends. So we would understand that if your friend makes you mad, that's okay. Because we both love God, which means we're going to get it together. Amen. Even if we got to get it together by faith, we're going to get it together. Amen? Amen? Then you need to have the last one. And this is probably the most important thing here. Because if you don't understand this, again, you will look at yourself incorrectly. The last one is you need to have Timothys in your life. Who are Timothys? Timothys are people who you are looking back and pouring into. And sometimes we say, well, you know, I don't know enough to be telling nobody else. I'll tell you what somebody told me. He said, all you need to be is one chapter ahead of the person you're ministering to. If you're reading through your Bible, as long as you're one chapter ahead of the person you're trying to minister to, you're okay. You just don't let them get. You just don't let them read two chapters tonight and pass you up. Why is that important? Because when it comes to maturity, you never fully mature until you impart something to somebody else. Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples of every nation, teaching them everything I taught you. Lo, I'll be with you even to the end of the age. You know what he was telling his disciples? He's telling, you guys have followed me, and now you need to follow somebody else and teach them what I taught you. What did he teach you? He taught you when you follow me, then you go teach somebody else. So disciples should always become disciple makers. Disciples should always become disciple makers. And what I found out about this, I found out that when I put myself in position to have to teach, I matured so fast. It was just like when I had the first child. I had a certain level of immaturity as a man. And then when I had a child, there's a certain level of maturity I had to have. I either had to mature or I had to run. No, I'm real. I'm being real right now because that's what happens to men right now. We keep getting taught that we can run from maturity when we should be standing and being mature. So we have to understand you're always going to have a choice. You can mature and step up and be the leader, be the father, be the husband or whatever you got to be, or you can run and you can be free and you can run around and be immature. And then at a certain point in life, recognize I should have matured a long time ago. Because it's not going to change truth or reality. So you have to spiritually have the same kind of thought process, that you have to take on the responsibility of bringing others to maturity in God. Now, it's easy to say, I don't have time for that. But that's the command of God. That's the command of God. That's the mark of our fruitfulness. Lawrence said this about my kids. He said, you see the fruit. My kids aren't perfect. My kids got issues like everybody else. But they're fruit from me. And whatever they do, they are representing fruit. And whoever follows you is representing fruit. So I want to leave you with this. If you want to have abundant life, you want to activate principles. You want to activate principles that start to move you in the direction. Everything else people pursue, prosperity, happiness, all the stuff people pursue, I guarantee you if you activate these principles, you won't have to chase those. They will come to you. When you activate these principles in your life, you won't have to pursue all the things people are pursuing. Why? Because the kingdom is complete. So when you operate in the kingdom, all things are given to you. I didn't have this in my notes, but I'm going to turn this real quick, and I'm going to read this, and then we're going to pray. The book of Matthew, chapter 6, Jesus makes a statement that explains what I'm telling you into a little bite-sized reality. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Everything you think you want to chase, it's in Jesus. Everything you think you want to pursue, it's in him. And if you get in him and you operate in the law of the Spirit, all the things that we are pursuing, they come to us. They come to us out of God's provision. They come to us out of God's work. They come to us out of the all things that Jesus has already prepared for us. Let's stand on our feet and let's pray.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We appreciate you taking time to listen to the broadcast here. I hope it's been a blessing to you. For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, please check out our website at alwc.us. Feel free to visit us any of our worship services. We're located at 1435 Glen Street in the city of Vallejo, California. And again, for more information, feel free to check out our website at alwc.us.